How do you see the way of the heart work meeting the needs of the planet today?
The doing of our inner work and our inner life mission, attunement, if you will, then allows us to be of service in a way that we can be present to how our life mission calls us to be a particular remedy for, that there's a particular need in the world that each of us have been born to be a remedy for. I've often said that the remedy for everything that's a challenge and a problem and a malady in the world is on the planet right now in the heart of the people who are on the planet. And when people don't step into, when we choose not to step into doing our inner work and we're not doing our addressing the work we're needing to do as person, then that may, perhaps we won't be as elegant about stepping into why we're here on the planet. And I've often said that when anytime anyone, anywhere, for any reason, doesn't embody why they're here, then we all lose. And if it's true that every person on the planet has something to bring to the need for what's going on in the world now, that we were born into this world to bring a particular gift and answer to a particular problem, or maybe multiple problems, if enough people did that, we'd have the remedy for how to move through the challenge of our time. So what the way of the heart does is it helps people do that inner work, to be present to the outer work, and to be present to the way of addressing both the inner and the outer work, so that we do become more skillful and more masterful at having an awake, aware life in which we're up to it. We're up to the challenge of our time.
If I could add something to what you're saying, for those that might feel the charge on the word work, yet I can hear your sobriety and the importance of the call by using that word. But I'm also inspired by Anaya Khan, the Sufi mystic, who said, "The true purpose of your life is the conscious and free expression of divine presence in the unique manner by which you are divinely empowered to bring love, harmony, and beauty of divine presence to the world." What I love about that, and I know we both agree on this, you and I, is the idea of unfolding the free expression of the real, the divine presence, which has an element of work, of effort, of turning within, you know, of commitment, but really an element of simply responding to the call within us and the tools to be able to do that. So I really think that there's a tremendous support and an ease in really getting this support, this reality within of the divine presence and the real expression. And then the offering, I think, is innately who we are and innately what we've come for. And we tend to resist through many of our behaviors and interactions and distractions in our life, this call. Would you agree to that, or would you say that another way?
I would agree with that. That's well said. In the line of the word work, that our W-O-R-K work, linguistically comes from a word that has the same origin as allergy. And there's a W-Y-R-K work that comes from the Middle English that is a different reference to what it means when we say the work, when we show up. In a certain tradition, it said that how you know if you showed up is there's effort and sweetness. W-Y-R-K work leaves the sort of allergy to life response to the W-R-K work. So when I say the work, or you could say the effort of showing up to being a disciple to the discipline of our calling, means that there's effort and sweetness. And it's a kind of effort, as you say, it's a kind of effortless effort. It does require that you show up to your calling. And even though it will be a kind of effortless effort, because it won't feel like WRK work. And notice the why in the middle of that, WYRK. Why are you here? And what does that call you to do? And who does that call you to be? That integration that you were just quoting of the presence to the why means that that effortless effort will be sweet. And the calling will keep you constant.
Thank you. I love the offering of love, harmony, and beauty to the world, you know, as something that is our joy to bring to the world. I believe our life, who was a Tolstoy that said, we're meant to love life. It's a way of loving the divine. And how many of us, especially in the West, have used the allergic version of work? You know, that this is my value, or this is what I have to do to become, or to identify, you know, myself as a, you know, good human being, etc. And I think the pandemic has really stirred a lot of that up and challenged a lot of that. How are we living our life? And, you know, what's of value to us? It's good to be shook up. You know, there's suffering in it, of course, but I think it's really good to get that call to what's real and important. The free expression of the divine truth inside. So to me, that embodies the ideal of truth. Like you said, that there's a journey of looking, of turning within, the inner practice, the inner life mission. What is the truth there? And then expressing and offering that good, the true, and the beautiful, you know, from a real place.
And the possibility of having what I call the all lit up and fully alive life. Mm. That it's the magical, mystical, alchemical, transformative, all lit up and fully alive life. That's the meaning crisis of our time. Mm. Is the cry for that waking into a world of the presence of your why as a living, breathing conversation you're having with life. And that you're participating in the creation of the future that wants to happen, that needs to happen.
And you know, like that fully alive, lit up life is going to include grief and loss. And that's why, I mean, another word, Martin Prechtel, you know, a wonderful mystic, speaks of grief and praise as being the same thing, that we lose the aliveness of our life by losing the meaning, by losing connection, right? With our inner first, you know, belonging to the real, to the true, to the divine essence. And then we express that from a place of limitation if it's not there. So then we don't have the lit up life, which doesn't mean that we're on all the time. Because I know in the West, sometimes people feel the pressure to be happy, to be on all the time, to be excelling, and to not take the rhythm of their life into account, the rhythm of their needs, or what their soul is needing, or what they're needing to address or heal. And I love the work we've done with people with that, the courage it takes to tell the truth that it's a slow time, or it's a time of limitation right now, where we're honing, let's say, so much of what's no longer true for us. It's like cleaning out a closet, and how valuable that can be. In one's own inner life, purification is one of the main ways that one progresses inside, purifying the old beliefs, the old ways of being, the old ideals, shattering our ideals on the new truth that's emerging, and then allowing that to lead us. Don't you speak about an octave and moving through the octave of our life and the guidance that happens from that?
Yeah, the octave of the divine song of life, I guess you could say. And that all lit up alive life doesn't mean you are wired for sound 24/7. There's a kind of quiet joy that one can have that can be a constant foundation. Even when you're not having fun, you can be in joy. And so that all lit up alive life in the divine song of life means that you have that resilience that you have spoken of so well, that you have the kind of resilience and a peace that comes from the constancy of that foundation of the conversation you're having with the one that sent you, and that there's a knowing that in that conversation with life, you are answering the call to your why. And whether it's a challenging moment or feel like the moment of testing my life, or the gift moments, however we think of those, the fullness of life means that in the ups and downs and the rhythms, as you were saying, of life, that whether it's the peak of the wave or the trough of the wave, there's the constancy of the yes to life, both and.
Right. Well, I love the way you say it. And for me, the only way I nuance that when I say yes to life is the constancy of being encouraged to say yes to truth, to say yes to what's inside that's true for me. Because otherwise, what we found, the research shows, is that there isn't a life. One doesn't live one's own life. One lives something one's taught to live or told to live or defaulting into or numb to. One doesn't really get to live, even if one is a success in the outer, which we've both been in many places, and it doesn't have the value. I don't know the mystic that said it. It wasn't given credit, but he spoke about that the belonging, without belonging inside to one's truth, there is no belonging to one's life. There is simply a feeling of then being a victim, of never attaining connection or power or manifestation or meaning if one's not sourcing it from within. And for each of us, that means, of course, something different, the level and where we might go to. But they say it's one of the greatest gifts that one can be given, is to both have the resources, the time, the energy to be able to ask, to not be hunting and gathering food and shelter and clothing during a war, etc. We have the rare and unusual ability, many of us in this country and places in Europe and rare few countries, to really sit down and say, what is it that's important to me? I have space here. I have enough food. What is it now that my life is about? It's not just about surviving, in other words. It's about something else. And this is where the Dalai Lama said, I mean, years ago, that the West plays a major role in serving and giving those of us that have enough, the wealthier countries. And I think we all know that's true, but we have to give from a place of fullness, which means we have to source inside our belonging, our meaning, our intention, our longing. It doesn't mean we don't hurt, we don't suffer, we don't need. We're all, as human beings, feeling the strain of our humanity. But it does mean that we have a rare gift of time to reflect on this, to meditate, to ask some real questions, which is, you know, what you and I started with back in the 80s, I guess 40 some years, is asking some real questions, you know? What is it you want? What is it that's important to you in your life? And because I had cancer at the time when we met, I was really asking that question. What is it that I really want? Was very germane for me at a very young age. And many years I've seen the gift of that, because it honed a sobriety and a clarity that opened many doors in our life, for ourselves and for the wonderful beings that we work with. So I really encourage this dialogue, however you have this dialogue, and I really invite you to come and explore with the way of the heart, not just for ourselves, but for the global heart, for our families, for the effect of connection of all of life. We are all being asked to uplift, as you say, Daniel, to from a better story, a more hopeful story. I'll bring in the word hope, a more inclusive story, and it will be more true if we find it more beautiful in our hearts. I think that's what's so beautiful, is that, you know, to be redundant with the word beauty, but that is such a precious, precious quality in this world, is to become beautiful from the inside out, to share from that place of hope, of faith, of goodness, you know, of love, of harmony. And this takes challenge, it takes effort, it takes presence, it takes tools, And we've been blessed to have the tools to work this and to be continuing to seek on this path, and blessed to be able to share. So would you add anything else to that?
Just to repeat your invitation to join us in the way that as we continue the, as we say, pay it forward, as we continue to pay forward the gift we've had from the teachers in our life and the traditions, and the amazing people who have moved through our life, that join us for the continuation of the way.
Yeah, to sweeten our life and sweeten the global heart in our world. That's what there is to do. And it's really the good kind of work. I just want to say that because I think we're all up to our eyeballs with work in many, many ways and responsibilities. And this is that which allows presence, allows resting in and receiving the support. And with all my heart, I wish for greater love and support for all the parents and families and human beings out there that are stretched to find a meaning in their life when there's so much. So that's our prayer and our intention and our work. And we invite you to come play in the way of the heart.